It was a hiccup from the choir. I guess that's the way they practice. Communion one. Don't get in trouble with the altar guild. Good morning and welcome to Christ Lutheran Church. Glad to have you all here today. We've got a bunch of first-time or repeat visitors here, more than six. So special welcome to all of you this morning. Glad to have you with us. Since there's a lot of first-time visitors, I just want to let you know it's a little bit easier for you if you separate this piece, which is our liturgy that we follow, away from all of the announcements section. That way, when you turn, when we get to the prayer of the day, on everything on page 3, you won't be turning into the inserts. You follow it right here. So we welcome you to that. Try to have the bulletin as welcoming as possible. I was asked again about Thanksgiving. We are having a Thanksgiving Day service. Thanksgiving this year is on November 25th, of course, Thursday. Worship is 11, and the meal is at 12. Anyone can sign up. If you're bringing your family members, that's okay. Just sign up for the whole party, and that sign-up will be out there via the fellowship team next Sunday on that white table in the fellowship hall. Christmas Eve, we have set the service time as well. Now that we're in this beautiful sanctuary that seats 150 with all of these comfy chairs, aren't you glad for your comfy chairs? We're going to try and do just one service so we can all gather together. Christmas Eve, we'll get all this in your bulletin, is Friday this year, December 24th, and the worship service will be at 4 o'clock so that those of you who don't really like to drive after dark will be able to get home before it's too dark. The Thanksgiving food drive, if you're visiting with us, all the food that's back there, it's not because I'm that hungry. There is an orange turkey in your bulletin. We collect all of that food for Lake Ware Middle School, which is very close to us here on Sunset Harbor Road. If you're visiting with us, 80% or more of those children, of those families, live below the poverty line. We will do at least 50 Thanksgiving baskets for them. The last day to bring in the food is Sunday, November 7th, which is also All Saints Sunday. If you look in the bulletin, thank you. A lot of you have been contributing cash. There was $375 given just last Sunday, so they can buy the items. I believe we're pushing $800 to $1,000 given for the baskets. Don't let that deter you from giving more, trust me, because the gift cards are $25 per basket, so they can get a turkey. And I'm not even sure that covers the cost of a turkey anymore with the way prices are going up. But thank you for that. Even you regular visitors, if you have one of these, it's an envelope. That's mine. If you have one of those, please turn one of these in, even if you don't want to put your name on it. This is the estimated giving form. It's really not as much for the budget as is it for the forecast. We do a cash flow forecast, and that helps us. No matter how much you're able to give, we appreciate it. I have turned mine in. Already, we have over 40 some turned in. We're hoping to get a bunch more. You can turn in anytime you like. One of the things I was trying to give you an example why that's important. It built this church. I knew when I was doing the forecast back then before Ray Lefevre joined the church and took that over for me. I knew what the run rates were, but I also needed to know what you were going to be able to do to make sure that it was financially sound to even buy the land here as well as move forward. The forecast seems to have worked, didn't it? And it worked well enough that the parking lot was built without having to ask you for anything more. Did you notice how beautiful it is now? It was the first time the grass was cut. For those of you first-time visitors, we used to have a desert out there. And if you parked there, you would have been bringing all the sand in, and you would have seen Bob in between services. Bob is very happy, our facilities manager. So, again, the budget is static the way we do that. We set the budget. The budget meeting is on November 21st. If you'd like to mark your calendars, we'll get that in the bulletin. By the way, it's going to be in between services, and there's going to be waffles instead of a potluck. Woo! The forecast changes each month. To give you an idea of what we use the forecast for in finance, we were looking at the potential of giving the staff a pay raise, the potential. Mutual Ministry was recommending that. Because the forecast doesn't allow for that, we can't do it this year, which is fine. I don't care as much about me as all the hard workers that work a lot more hours than you think they do, like Michelle in the office. Give her an amen. Bob, our facilities manager, give him an amen. Twinkle Fingers over here, give him an amen. Mike Sinella, who does all of our work on the Internet, give him a big amen. And my Barb the Fever, of course, our treasurer, puts in a lot more hours than she gets paid for. But without the forecast, we know what you can do. I'm not trying to make this in a long conversation, trying to tell you what we use it for. Because some people go, well, you don't need that. I'm like, yeah, we do. So if you can turn it in, whether you can do $5 or $50,000, nobody's willing to do that. Got some other good news. I didn't have a chance to announce this before. I found out when they got back, and then I was away for a while, and then I keep forgetting. This lovely couple got married. It's Kevin and Christy, and the only reason I found out is because Christy walked up to me and said, "We got married. Can you change my name tag?" And she told me after worship, and then she said, "We're going to be gone for a few months. We're going to go celebrate with everybody." So can everybody give them a big amen?
Amen.
So now it is officially Kevin and Christy Cheeks. And we're going to sing to you this morning. Is that all right? Happy wedding to you. Happy wedding to you. Kevin and Christy, happy wedding to you. Christy and Kevin. Happy wedding, Kevin and Christy. Happy wedding to you. Congratulations. And may you celebrate your 75th anniversary together. Probably be in a nursing home, but good to have good news, isn't it? All right, we're going to take a quiet moment to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We continue worship in your worship folder on page 2. Again, for those of you greeting, visiting, if you take the inserts out, it's a little easier to follow along. We're at the top of page 2. We begin here with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We come together in confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose teaching is life, whose presence is sure, and whose love is endless. Amen. Let us confess our sins to the Holy Trinity, who welcomes us with an open heart. Holy Trinity, our Comforter, like lost sheep, at times we go astray. At times we gaze upon the abundance you grant and complain about scarcity. At times we turn away from injustice and oppression and fail to act. At times we exploit your earth with our apathy and greed. Free us and save us from our sin, gracious Holy Trinity. Continue to listen and act when we call out to you for help. Continue to lead us by your wisdom to love you and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. All sin and fall short of the glory of the Holy Trinity. By the gift of grace in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, God our Father makes us righteous in his Son Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, receive with glad and thankful hearts the forgiveness of all of our sins. Amen. We continue on page 3 to top with the prayer of the day, praying it together. And let us pray. Sovereign God, our Father, you create us to live in loving community with you and one another. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to form us for life that is faithful and steadfast to you, and teach us to trust you like little children, that we only reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we pray the prayers for the world together, Joe Capelli asked me if I'd seen any news this morning, and I had not. He said there were a bunch of aid workers from the United States who were kidnapped in Haiti, and they were there to build houses. That is always alarming. I'm sure there's trying to get ransom. But remember, we support food for the poor there and have for years all over the Caribbean. It's quite possible they're related to Food for the Poor. They have built thousands of homes there. Those homes, the only thing that ever gets damaged in bad weather is the roof. They're sustainable structures. So no matter who it is, we'll keep Haiti and everything going on there in our prayers and pray for their safe return. Let us pray. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Everybody say good morning, Sue.
Good morning. I almost said good morning, Sue. On their way to Jerusalem, Jesus' disciples asked him to grant them seats of honor. Jesus responds by teaching that he and his followers will rule through self-giving service. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Give Sue a big amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us on this cool morning as fall is starting to approach us a little more. We're just grateful to be here in this beautiful house of worship, and most importantly, a house of worship and service. As the Thanksgiving food continues to be brought in, we remember that we do most of the ministry and mission for Jesus Christ, Father God, on your behalf, as well as through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we leave this place and begin this week on the Sabbath, honoring you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, immersed in your Son's righteousness and sent forth boldly by the Holy Spirit, knowing that that is even Lutheranism, it is charismatic to go forward from this place and engage in the ministries and missions, knowing that the devil will fight us at every turn. But in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have more power than the devil does, including that death and sin and how have no dominion over us. Eternal life is what our dominion is, and may we share it here in this place and the places we go as we return until we come back and are cleansed in Christ and resent again next week. What a great time to be a Christian in a troubled world, including in Haiti, where people are kidnapped for money when they're trying to bring housing. But we know the truth is out there, that your kingdom is breaking in all around us all the time, and we're a big part of it. We may not be the biggest congregation, but we're making a big impact, and we know the Lord knows, and the Holy Spirit continues to give us that power. In Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I still joke about, I got involved in the Lutheran denomination because I love the message of grace. And I was baptized as an infant in the Episcopal Church, grew up in the Presbyterian Church. And so I'm kind of a mutt when it comes to denominations. But I definitely lean in the Holy Spirit's realm. Have you noticed that? Well, I could fit in Assembly of God Church right away. Now, I may not speak in tongues, but I can speak Pittsburghese. I start talking to people about yinz. They'll be going, "You must be speaking in tongues." I said, "In Pittsburgh, they'll know exactly what yinz is." Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a great gift. Be fired up, ignited every day. And the troubles come along, be fired up and know the Lord's with you. When you're going full steam ahead, remember to thank God and go with Him. This is exciting. We're changing the world. Christianity is alive and well, and the devil would have people believe it's dead. The devil's wrong. And we're going to shout it from the mountaintops, aren't we? Amen. There's my baptism side, or Baptist side. Amen and hallelujah. Today's gospel. The disciples are still so confused. They're talking once again, this is the second time, about who the greatest is. I can't imagine approaching Jesus Christ at this point of his life. There are only 16 chapters in St. Mark's Gospel. Did you notice that they're on the way to Jerusalem? This is getting towards the very end of his life. Instead of giving him comfort, they continue to want to be the greatest. This time, it just happens to be James and John who pull him aside. Try to fathom saying this to our Lord and Savior. We have a favor. Can we sit at your right hand and your left hand? Don't tell the other 10. Embedded in that is we are better than them. We're great. That's awful. But anytime we approach Jesus and say, "You know, Jesus, this is what I want and this is the way I want it." Everybody has done that, including me, yours truly. "Oh, but Jesus, you know, that girlfriend that broke up with me in high school, I want her back." Didn't work out that way because Jesus had other plans for her and for me. "Oh, but I was mad for a while when I was younger. It's a good thing I was young and got over it." This isn't the first time, if you recall. About 5 Sundays ago, the same exact thing happened. It just happened to be in chapter 9. And this is how the story went. Starting in verse 33. Jesus and his disciples came to Capernaum. And after going indoors, Jesus asked his disciples, knowing all about them and us. And I preach that that's not a bad thing, because you can tell him anything, and if you try to hide it, he say, "You want to talk about the rest of it? What were you arguing about on the road?" And there must have been dead silence. But they would not answer Jesus, because on the road they had been arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Just like today. Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples and said to them, exactly like today, "Whoever wants to be first must place himself last of all and be servant of all." Sound familiar? Sound familiar? The interesting part about this is both times that this occurs, in chapter 9 and chapter 10, Jesus has been teaching the exact same thing. And you heard me in preaching mention that we do this just like the disciples are doing. I call it theological redirect. If Jesus presents us with a tough subject in life, sometimes we want to go talk to Jesus about something else instead of taking it head on. Anybody been there besides me? It's exactly what they do. So just before they decided to argue about who was the greatest, thinking he didn't know, Jesus and his disciples went on through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where he was because he was teaching his disciples. The Son of Man will be handed over to men who will kill him. 3 days later, however, he will rise to life. And you know what he was teaching just before today? Can you imagine what he was teaching just before today? Jesus and his disciples were now on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jesus was going ahead of the disciples who were filled with alarm. The people who followed behind were afraid. Once again, Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and spoke of the things that were going to happen to him. Listen, Jesus taught them. We are going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and then hand him over to the Gentiles. These will make fun of him, spit on him, whip him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise to life. And instead of comforting him, and instead of questioning, saying, Lord, how can we support you? How can we help you through this horrible time that you must go through to become the Savior, to fulfill the Hebrew Scriptures from Isaiah and all the prophets? Well, Jesus, since you're going to die, can I sit at your right hand and your left hand? How painful that must have been for him. It's okay to not understand what he's talking about. It's not okay to go on and think that maybe this won't happen. Maybe he'll be king in Jerusalem. Maybe he'll defeat Rome. And we'll get to be in power with him. Whether they were on the road doing it or whether it was just two of them. We're all guilty of that when we demand things from the one who went to this cross to forgive us and rose from the dead to prove that salvation is for us now, in this life, right now, and in the next. This is exciting good news. Apply it. Apply it. Fight the devil when he says, think of yourself. Ignore what Jesus wants. Oh, that's too much for anybody to ask, including the Lord. This church has more things for you to do to support the missions and ministries than you possibly can do. That's why this insert is so big. Have you noticed that it's multiple pages? Have you noticed that there's lots of collections? There's Christian sympathy. There's all kinds of things. There's an orange turkey. Wow, it even goes on to the backside and said, here's all the people you can pray for. If that's your ministry, apply it. The devil would have us say, oh, we'll do that later. Lord, I'm busy doing my thing. It's exactly what the disciples were doing. The Holy Spirit gets us engaged, and it's exciting. And it can be very simple. Some people gave me a whole bunch of medical things again this morning. We collect medicine, particularly non-prescription things, for Interfaith in Ocala. Interfaith in Ocala, which we also support for their free shower ministry, collecting towels and soap and toothbrushes and washcloths, they have an absolutely 100% medically staffed free clinic and a free dental medically staffed for those who are homeless or who those have low income and can't afford insurance and those things. And the devil would want to destroy that, wouldn't the devil? You know, I want to tell you that the devil's losing, including in downtown Ocala. One time somebody said, but Pastor, why do we support them? They're so far away. You really don't want to know how I answered that question. Recently, we have been giving, and again, I got some today, a bunch of insulin supplies, including insulin that we had to refrigerate. Imagine if you can't get that yourself. by supplying it up there, they don't have to use their budget to buy it for people who, by the way, insulin, right? You need it all the time, as long as you live, especially if you're type A. Client receives life-saving meds thanks to donors. Kayla LaCroix called me from her ICU bed in a local hospital. She had been admitted in critical condition for diabetes and was an IV drip of insulin. She told me she did not have medical insurance and her insulin was very expensive, $743 per month. She needed two types of insulin and could not afford any of it. Because this medication was so important to saving Kayla's life, the hospital would not discharge her until she had a means to obtain her insulin. This is interfaith. I told Kayla we could definitely help her with insulin and her supplies. She asked me how to obtain a glucometer, and I told her we could assist with that from our donations. Sound familiar? Kayla cried with gratitude. She kept asking me, was I sure? I kept reassuring her. We could most definitely assist her, which means indefinitely. I learned that the case manager at the hospital referred Kayla to us. Her nurse explained the situation further and let me know the doctor would be notified that we could help so that Kayla could be discharged. One life, one victory for Christ, one delivery of insulin or needles. If you have a neighbor that isn't using it, bring it in. Put the word out. If somebody dies, don't be bashful. Ask for it. John Clee, who worshipped at the late service when he was able, was homebound for a long time, was fully diabetic. His insulin went up there. Can you imagine John Clee smiling in heaven? His life counted for as a Christian, and he was still helping people in his death. Amen and hallelujah. All right, you're starting to get the amens. Are you feeling the Holy Spirit? And never discount it. I was given bags and bags of colostomy supplies. And I took it up there on Monday. Their medical clinic, the front office, is right at Silver Springs Boulevard and 441 on the left. If you don't know where it is, it's pretty hard to see. I walked up to the door, and you have to ring a doorbell. They have to keep it locked for safety. And the woman came to the door and I said, hey, I've got a whole bunch of medical equipment for you. They'd love to see me. Sometimes you guys don't like to see me that much, but they do. And mutual ministries here, I understand why. I said, listen, I've never had all this before, but I have a whole bunch of colostomy supplies that someone can't use anymore. This is exactly what she said to me. We were just talking about that. We have someone in need who just contacted us. We are a delivery point for missions and ministries. We are a delivery point for the two Girl Scout troops and the two now AA groups. The one got too small and folded into another one. We are a delivery for all the things in those baskets. Never doubt that victories for Christ come in places and in homes we may not ever see. But I see Patty smiling, and the devil can't stand it. Because the devil would have us sit around and stay self-focused, and we're not going to do that around here, are we? Oh, you're awake this morning. This is incredible, incredible gifting good news. To show up the morning, or the afternoon it was, that they just had a need for colostomy supplies. And some people say, oh my God, your church is talking about worship about colostomy supplies? We can't talk about that. I have somebody who said that about the Nazi flag? It's down. They didn't see that that had anything to do with the gospel. They have a lot to learn and to grow, don't they? That has everything in hate to do with the gospel. And it doesn't fly just off County Road 42 anymore. Amen and hallelujah. Because somebody took action on behalf of the gospel. And if I make you mad over something like that, come see me. Because I'm going to make you more mad. And I'm going to ask you why that we prayed that prayer for the world against hatred, which is ethnic, racial, sexual, gender, political, and religious discrimination and violence. That's what that flag stood for. And aren't you glad? In Summerfield, it flies no more. Amen and hallelujah. That's exciting. You see an injustice, speak up. You need help, come see me. I seem to engage in these things quite frequently. Because I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit in God's time, we'll get the job done. That happened to happen quite quickly. And we got the job done with insulin. And yes, again, I'm saying this, colostomy supplies. It's incredible good news. I learned something on Friday. Love in the name of Christ who supports us and we support them. If you're not familiar with the ministry we do for them here, I love the name. Barks and Purrs. You'll see the note from Rosemary in that big section of all the things. You notice I keep showing you that. Yes, well, that's good. I want to thank Joe and Sandy. They brought in enough kitty litter that's needed that they have to get a cart to get it all. They had a gathering of as many local clergy members who could come at Trinity Lutheran Church. And we had a lunch and they had a guest speaker, and this was Friday. It was wonderful. Trying to get our ministerial association back up and running. It has been defunct for about 8-9 years now. Ministerial used to be, have at least 25 to 30 churches got together to discuss things, programs, and I think God placed that on my heart to get that restarted. I've already contacted the executive director of Love Inc., Dana, but if I don't hear back from her, guess who's going to be contacting all the churches saying, hey, let's get back together and work together. And I plan on including the Jewish synagogue and any other people of faith who want to be part of that. We're all in this together. If anybody thinks they have God all figured out, God is laughing right here at you right now. Right here, right now. Don't you think God laughs at us all the time? Oh, Jesus, look what they're doing now. Oh, so you should see what they're doing over here. And then Jesus goes, remember what James and John did? Oh, not those two again, sitting at your right hand, your left hand. The guest speaker, his name was Brian. He travels with his wife all over the country in his small RV. They had a map up of all these places that he goes. He got a grant, because he's a good writer, to go around and spread the news of Christianity and give away free brochures on death and dying, for once, on planning so that your kids aren't left without knowing what you would want, all kinds of things. And it's all basically free. Imagine that in the Christian world. And he told us a story. He had been a missionary with his former wife who died in Africa for about 20 years. They had great success and they went through the ups and downs. But he said, you know, when my wife died, I was going to do something to honor her. We needed a facility there. We gathered every coalition of churches we knew, and we built a facility to house people and missionaries and a learning center. For those of you who have been involved in the mission in India and Ranchi, it's exactly what the Pastors Eka did, which we're a part of. They have trained hundreds, if not thousands, of ministers to go out and share the gospel in northern India. Sound familiar? Built by the people in India. This place was built by the folks in Africa. And he said something strange happened afterwards. When it was open, it was up and running. Multiple people kept writing me letters, thanking me. And I knew where he was going. And he said this, and this is how I live. I deserve no thanks. I didn't put one brick into the building. The builders deserved the thanks. I was the impetus, but I didn't provide all the funds. Those people deserved the thanks. Just because I was the spearhead doesn't mean anything. Ultimately, Jesus deserves the thanks. If you thank me at this table, I will constantly say, don't thank me, I'm just a waiter. If you thank me because you heard something in preaching, I will say to you, the only reason you heard anything is because you have faith receptors. And Jesus is talking to you, not me. I am the messenger. I work for a Jewish carpenter who is much better at carpentry and everything else than I ever will be. The two disciples, James and John, didn't get that today. Fight against that. And he gave a great example. Today in the gospel, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, isn't he? Isn't he? And they're still talking about who's the greatest. Pastor Brian said this. I want you to ponder a question. In several of the Gospels, Jesus is stated on Palm Sunday to be riding on a donkey. On another Gospel, it's a colt. But he said, imagine Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And if you know me in this, that's my favorite Sunday in the whole church here. Because it's the one time the world seems to get it and make him first. And there he is riding in on a donkey. Not as a victorious warrior. As the Messiah who came in peace to bring salvation to the world. And he's riding in to the place he knows he's going to die. That he could destroy. And then Pastor Brian said, imagine this. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good. When everyone was throwing down their cloaks and cutting down branches and throwing it in front of Jesus and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You think the donkey thought it was about him? Or her, if it was a female donkey. And I busted out laughing because I have never thought about that. And then Pastor Bryant taught us this. He said, I wrote everybody who ever sent me a thank you of any kind. And I sign it this, and they still call me this today. Donkey Brian. He gets it. He said, I would have loved to have been the one to ride my Savior into Jerusalem. Because it's about Him. Not about me. And then he had us laugh. He said, well, you're all clergy out here. And I know you've been called an ass many times. Ask Mutual Ministry. And he said, now you have the comeback. If you want to call me from now on, Donkey Dave, if it helps you remember to keep Jesus first, please do. Because I live by the simple word that I preach all the time, as best as I'm able, the sinner that I am. Joy. Jesus. Others. Yourself. And I fight against making the mistake the two disciples did today. Donkey Dave, from now on, and when my friends hear this on the internet, they will definitely use the three-letter word. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you're visiting with us and would like to follow along with the communion liturgy in your bulletin, you will find it on pages 3 and 4. So we have so many visitors here today as I get the table ready. Everyone is welcome at this table. We know it's the Lord's. It is not ours. If by chance you do not partake in wine, just let me know. This vessel here is white grape juice. And this is wine. We ask you to pick up a cup for Holy Communion wine or grape juice right there where the stand is with the hand sanitizers as well. The server will give you a piece of host bread, and then I'll come along with the wine. If you do not partake in Holy Communion, you are welcome to come forward for a blessing. Simply let me know, or if you come forward with your arms like this, I'll know you would prefer a blessing. Remember that you're communed by intention. That is your faith. Again, since there's so many folks visiting, if you're coming from my left, which is your right, we ask that you start here. This helps you return to your seat so you don't have to step over people. I always call this the twinkle finger side. If you're coming from my right, which is your left, we ask you that you form the line starting here and go this way. That way, when you disperse, because you come up first, you come and you go around. Make sense? We're still learning it here, so I still remember when I explained that the first time, and I'm going to pick on Sandy. She just took her glasses off. Sandy walked over here, and I'm like, no, Sandy over there. And she said, what? I said, over here. We love you. I got to pick on people all the time. Holy, huh? Uh-huh, you're next. Yeah, you sit up front, so I always get you. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory and great love. You sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, rise as you're able, and preached good news to the poor. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you'd like to follow along in the bulletin, we're going to continue back on page 4, which is the back cover of the liturgy portion, with the table blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen us and keep us in his grace, the power of the healing Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We pray the blessing together. It's up there on the monitors, also on the middle of page 4 of that same bulletin liturgy. Let us pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So if you want to have some fun with your neighbors, your family, you can tell them all that now you have been approved by your pastor to call them an ass. And you can then explain the story. And I bet you they'll remember. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Go in peace with the power of the Holy Spirit, continuing to share Jesus' gospel good news. Welcome to all you visitors. Come back and see us. You're always welcome. And there's plenty of fun things in the fellowship hall, coffee and sweets. I expect you to talk about me this week. Have a great one. Thanks be to God. Amen.